Going to talk about whether you need separate salt shakers for milchis and fleishigs. If you look up the halachas of salt shakers, you know, you Google it or something, you'll find like it's an issue in Hilchos Shabbos. What's the issue in Hilchos Shabbos? Borer, because they put the rice in the salt shaker, right? But you don't find much in terms of kashrus. Even if you look in Hilchos Basa B'chalav, you will find that there is a comment that the Ramah has about a salt dish in Hilchos Basa B'chalav, but that is not the halacha in Basa B'chalav. That's actually relevant to our salt shakers. In the very end of Siman Peches, the Ramah says that there's a minhag to have separate salt shakers, salt dishes, for milking and fleishig, because when you dip your food in the salt, some of the food remains in the salt. Now that obviously doesn't relate to our salt shakers, because we don't dip our food in the salt, we shake the salt into the food. They used to have little salt dishes that they would dip into, so that doesn't relate at all to our salt shakers. So maybe there's no issue at all with salt shakers and spices and stuff off the salt. It's any spices. What might the issue be? So there is a concept in halacha called zeya. Zeya means steam. You see, most of the halachas of Basa B'chalav relate to if a drop of milk or a drop of meat, you know, hits the pot of the other min, of the other gender, and, you know, what is that? How does it affect the food in it? How does it affect the pot? V'chule, v'chule. But what if it's not a drop of milk or a drop of meat? It is the steam that's created by heating up milk, or the steam that's created by heating up meat. What would the status of that steam be? So that is the issue called Zeya. Steam is Zeya. So there is a tshuva of the Rush, where the Rush brings a raya. You know, it's amazing. There is a Gemara explicitly that talks about using the same oven for milchig and fleishig, and that Gemara does not raise the issue of Zeya. The Gemara only raises the issue of Recha, whether Recha milsa, Recha lav milsa. It doesn't even talk about steam. But nevertheless, the Rush brings a raya from a Mishnah, I believe in Maseches Machshirin, where the Mishnah seems to assume that there is validity, not just validity, that the steam of something is like that item. So the steam of a liquid with regard to tumentara is considered to be like that, like the liquid that it comes from. Another possible raya is based on the sugya Maseches Chulin that talks about a tipas chalav that falls into a meat pot, and even if it falls above the level of the food in the pot, if you shake up the kedera, it can become batel b'shishim, and the Gemara says, even if you put a kisui on top of the kedera, you put a cover on the pot, that's like you shook it up, that's like you mixed up the whole thing. So don't you see that what happens when you put a cover on the pot? It contains the steam, right? So did it really mix? No, it's just the steam that was contained within the pot. So apparently the steam is considered like the item itself, and therefore you can have bittul from just the steam alone. So that all seems to suggest that steam is a significant issue. What does that do with salt shakers? Because if you take your, what's the most common thing that people put salt in at the table? Soup, right? You have a soup, you taste it, it's not salty enough, and soup tends to be served hot. Right? So very often you can see the steam rising from the soup, and you shake the salt into the soup, and what's going to happen? The steam might rise into the salt shaker, and that will mean that your salt that remains in that salt shaker is now fleishig, and then next meal you have a milchig soup, a cream of whatever soup, right? A milchig soup, and you use the same salt shaker. So now you have bas v'chalav salt, and that could be obviously highly problematic. So is that an issue or not? So there are a number of studim lahakel about steam in general, and then we'll talk about salt shakers in particular. First of all, there's a truth in the Mishnah Yaakov that we don't paskin like, but it's important to know at least as a tzad lahakel, where the Mishnah Yaakov holds that steam is not an issue at all when it comes to kashrus. The fact that there's a Mishnah in Sefer Taharos that talks about steam, that's a Tuma and Tahara issue. The fact that we talk about putting a kisui on a kedera, covering on a pot, covering on a pot, that's talking about where you put a cover on the pot and then you shake up the whole pot so there's stuff spritzing all over the place. But steam itself, says the Mishnah Yaakov, doesn't mean anything. La halacha, we don't pass on the Mishnah Yaakov. The Mechaber quotes the Rush in Shulchan Aruch, and if you put a frying pan with with milk directly under a fleshy pot that has meat in it, we assume inside of a kira, in an enclosed area, we assume that the steam from the milk reaches the fleshy pot and makes it usher, that the steam from the milk has a status of milk. The Rama says that that's only if the milk pot is uncovered, of course, but that's because that's where steam happens, and only if the steam is yatzaledesbo, if it's hot. Okay, good. All of that is true, but that is. But the Shulchan Aruch definitely does fasten that steam is an issue. However, in terms of Metzius, it's difficult to determine exactly what constitutes Zeya. Is Zeya only when something's in an enclosed area or even in an open area? And that may depend on which of the Rayas of the Rush you buy into. Because if you're into the one about the Kisoy and the Kedera, that's obviously an enclosed area. If you're talking about the steam that the Mishnah is talking about, that seems to be more in an open area. But at least as a Tzad L'Hakel, the Bach is Mekil, that steam only applies when it's in an enclosed area, not when it's an open area. The Ramah doesn't seem to hold that way, because the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch and Yardea talks about cooking a fleshig dish, a milch dish rather, and having meat hanging over your stove. And the Ramah says that the only reason it's mutter is because usually by the time the milchig steam gets to the meat, it's already not yatzalad, it's already cooled off, so you can just wipe it off. But if it were hot, it would in fact affect that meat, and therefore one needs to be careful about that. So now, over a stove sounds like it's in an open area, and yet the Ramah is still machmir about that, but at least that's a second sniff lakal. You have the Bach that holds that in an open area, we're not concerned about steam. Also, the original case of Zeya in the Tshuvas HaRash was about the item that was actually being hit directly by the Zeya. It was not talking about Zeya going up and hitting the ceiling of an oven and then dripping back down. So that's the tzad l'kula that would apply to an oven. But over here by the salt, we are actually concerned about the item that's being hit directly by the Zeya. And then a fourth thing to consider before we talk about salt shakers in particular is that the Primogadim brings a raya from the Lashon HaRambam that Zeya of a food, as opposed to a drink, as opposed to a liquid, Zeya of a food is not called Zeya. That foods don't really produce steam. Meaning, steam doesn't mean any time there's any sort of steam coming up from the food. It means when there's a significant amount of steam. Solid foods don't produce nearly as much steam as liquids do, and therefore, whatever steam you see coming out of the solid food is halachically not considered to be steam. The Torah in Hilchos Pesach talks about bread giving off Zeya and using the item that the Zeya went into for Pesach, clearly assuming that there is Zeya even in bread, which is a dry food, so clearly not like that. Prima Gadim, Son of Moshe. And the Tshuva says that we should paskin like the tour in this case, but maybe we can argue that it would only be a problem of Zeya on a solid food if you actually see the Zeya coming from the food. Most of the time, solids don't give off steam, so you can work with the assumption that it's not steaming unless you see that it is steaming. So if you want to make cookies in a fleshig oven with the intention of eating it with milk, according to Rav Moshe, it would be mutter, as long as there's no fleshig in the oven at the time that you make the cookies in there, because what are you worried about? The steam of the cookies going into the oven, and then there's no steam of cookies unless you see the steam of the cookies. So if what you're putting your salt on is a solid food, that's another major tzad l'hakel, is that you don't have to assume that there is steam in place, that there's steam that's actually doing anything. So let's actually talk about salt shakers itself. Not just salt shakers, spices that are used to spice food. Now, if I were to ask you, which is a bigger problem? If you are putting salt or spices into your soup at the table or into your food at the table or while cooking over a large open pot, which would produce more steam and more of an issue while you're cooking? Now, where do you have bigger openings for steam to get into? The typical table salt shaker or the ones that you're using while you're cooking in the kitchen? While you're cooking, where do more people have a separate salt shaker for milchigs and fleshigs? By the table, or by when they're preparing their meals when they're cooking? Separate set of spices So more people would probably have separate by the table than they do when they're cooking. Now, in an industrial setting, it's totally different, right? Any camp or anything like that, or nursing home, a kosher nursing home or something, they'll have separate spices and separate ketchups and separate all this for this very concern. But usually, in most people's homes, they don't. So is there anything to rely on? Why don't we have sets of spices for milchis and fleishes? Don't we have to be concerned that the steam is entering through the holes? So the Badei HaShulchan writes that he says, Nira shatavlu shenos ha-metoch ha-kdera b'shas bishul, ein l'shtam yishpelsim tavlu m'basar v'chalet. He says, I don't think you should use the same spice shakers while you're cooking. Shaharei ha-zeya ola l'tochem, because the steam goes right into them. V'afilu ein ha-zeya yad saledespo, b'kol zos, he nichnesses derech nikvei akli u'misaredes matavlu. And then he makes a very important point. Even if it's not yad saledes, because if you ever put your hand above steam, even just like 2 inches above, it's no longer so hot. And even if it's not yad saledes, where you're holding the salt shaker, that means that the blios, the tam, is not going to penetrate into the actual salt shaker. But the actual moisture that is the steam will still be there. So you can have actual be'en. Meaning when the Ramah said, don't worry about the meat that's hanging over the stovetop because it's not yad saledes. So mikra adin, you wouldn't have to worry about it because by the time the milchig steam hits the meat, it would be okay. That means that you would still have to wipe down the meat because it still has the cold steam on it. Cold steam is also a problem because it's still the actual food. And there's no way to wipe down each kernel of salt. Wait, a kernel of salt? I don't know what you call it. Grain. Each grain of salt. Right? There's no way to wipe down each grain of salt after the steam has already entered it. So the Badei HaShulchan writes that you do need two separate groups of spices. One for meat, one for milk. And even if you hold the salt very high over the steaming food, at a point that the steam is no longer yet saledness, the steam enters the small dispenser holes and it condenses, and it could happen by both fleishig and milchig, and you'll have a basar b'chalet problem. However, other poskim are not so convinced. Some suggest that as long as you're using it high up enough, first of all, you know it's not going to be yad saledes problem. How do I know that it's not yad saledes when I'm shaking the spices into the pot? Because the spices are not they're not floating magically. I'm holding them with my hand. And obviously, I'm able to hold my hand there, so whatever steam is coming up is not yad saledes anyway. Second of all, it's an open area, and maybe we can be making that it's an open area. Third of all, Mishnah Yaakov holds that there's no steam at all anyway, that steam is just pashut, not an issue at all. Fourth, we can perhaps rely on that the idea that that what's happening with those holes in the spice shakers when you're shaking out spice, there's spice coming out of those holes. So it could be that while spice is pouring out, steam is not able to get in. Those holes are being filled with the spices that are coming out. So it could be that steam is unable to make its way into the salt shaker. In fact, if steam did make its way into the salt shaker, then it should cause the salt to stick together much more than it actually does. So it doesn't seem that a significant amount of steam, or at least significant enough to pull it steam. Rav Shach likes to say that Zeya is not really the issue. It's more like Hevel is the issue, when it's like really, really thick steam. So it doesn't seem that you actually have that. But when the spout of the spices is a very big opening, you ever see anyone ever cook over here? So you have like the big things of spice. So on one side, you have all the little dots, right? And on the other side, it's like wide open. First of all, never use that side if you're not an experienced cook. The whole thing will end up in the... But okay, that's just... That has nothing to do with halacha. But also, there's a halachic benefit to not using that side, because this sad lahakel, that the holes are all being closed up by the spices that are coming out, is not true when it comes to the larger side of it. So maybe better not to hold this directly over. Best thing to do if one wants to be machmir with their spice shakers is to measure out in your, it's a good idea anyway, measure out in your hand in a kli, and then separately put it in, as opposed to holding the spice shaker over the open pot of steaming hot food. In general, when it comes to these kinds of issues, this is the kind of thing you would look at: what has your mother done, and what has her mother done, and what has her mother done, in terms of people who know how to keep a kosher kitchen, as long as everyone is yirei mushleim, and how have they handled the issue, and there's what to be sumich on, regardless of what your personal hanhagos are in the kitchen in this area.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. By honoring your sacred vocation of nursing, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. At Grand Canyon University, our online RN to BSN, MSN, or DNP degree programs allow you to balance online coursework with local in-person clinical, practicum, or immersion hours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.